Begin the current daf Masechtas Erev and daf Kuf. We begin three lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues elaborating on the second halacha spoken about in the Mishnah on the previous daf. And that is, the Mishnah spoke about two different halachas regarding a tree. The second halacha is regarding the specificities of actually the prohibition of touching, utilizing a tree on Shabbos. And that's because of the concern that something might break off, and you might be over on the Issa Deraisa of being toilish, of ripping off something from the tree on Shabbos. So our Mishnah said, Shirash of Gevayim in the Arts, Vechulu, if the roots of the tree are higher from the ground, at least more than three tefachim, then it already has a status as a tree and not as if a protrusion from the ground and an extension of the ground, which would then be permitted. Rather, as long as it's three tefachim above, then one is not allowed to sit in it. So the Gemara brings as follows. Itma, we learned regarding this halacha. Shirashi ilan, the roots of a tree, haboin milmala mishleisha, that comes from above three tefachim, but then l'toich shleisha, it comes to within three tefachim. That is, after it reached the height of three tefachim, it bends over and it comes back down within the airspace of three tefachim from the ground. And that we have machlekes. Rabba amar mutil ishtamash ben. Rabba says one is permitted to utilize these branches because, as we said in our Mishnah, if it's below three tefachim, we consider it as an extension of the ground, not as a tree. Rav Shesha says, osel ishtamash ben, one is prohibited to utilize it, as the Gemara explains. Rabba amar mutil ishtamash ben, he says permitted to use it, the chal pachis megimel da'ara, arahi, whatever is less than three tefachim from the ground, we always view something within three tefachim as an extension of that area, and therefore we view it as ground, not as tree, and therefore it's permitted. Rav Shesha sama osel ishtamash ben, Rav Shesha says, no, it's prohibited to utilize these roots that are coming from above three tefachim. And the reason is, the kivin demikoyach isra ka'asi asurin. Since Rav Sheshes looks at it from where it comes from, and therefore since it comes from a prohibited area, this is an extension of something, although now it's within three tefachim, but it's coming from above three tefachim, and that's why it's going to be asur. So the Gemara brings now three different types of scenarios that are going to be related to this same exact machloikis, and will be totally in these two different opinions. So the Gemara says, didamu kimushanisa. Regarding branches that are similar to like a rocky mountain. That is, this mountain has these jagged edges sticking out of it towards the sides. So too over here, what we're talking about is that there are these small roots, these shirashim, that are coming out of these larger branches. Now the larger ones are, and the way these branches are coming down, they're coming downwards on the slant towards the ground. And the other ones are going up. And like some Rashis have this picture where it shows that the branch is going up, but then there are smaller ones coming out from it going downward. On that, the Gemara says, so it depends. The Salkin La'ela, those that actually go up, in other words, these large branches that are going above three tefachim from the ground, so they're not surin. So according to everybody, it's going to be prohibited because they're above three tefachim. And then the nachsin l'tatoi, those that are below, in other words, the large ones that are towards the tree, either that if it didn't get yet above three tefachim, or the smaller ones that are coming out from the large one, but they were entirely from within three tefachim from the ground. So then shari there, according to everybody again, it will be permitted because it never got to a situation where it's iser and that it would possibly even be coming from that. So again, if it's above three tefachim, and that's where it is, according to everybody, it's prohibited. If it's below three tefachim and never even went above that, according to everybody, be permitted. Let's daden, when it's partially, and that is the small roots that are coming out from the height of the larger ones, which are above three tefachim, but then these are coming down to within three tefachim, that is plukta derab of Rav Sheshes. That will be totally in the same machlekes that we mentioned before, that according to Rav Sheshes is going to be prohibited, because he says it's mikoyach isur us. It's coming from something that's prohibited because it's coming from the above three tefachim. But Rabbah says permitted. Rabbah only looks at it where it is right now. And if it's, since it's below three tefachim, it's permitted. I don't care that where it actually came from. Similarly, the Gemara says another case, v'chein anigra. Anigra is a tree that's coming out from a narrow ditch. That ditch is made to bring water to the fields. And now the two sides of the tree are on the side of the edges of this charitz, of this little ditch, that it's sticking into the edges of that ditch. Now, it depends where you would measure from, which is essentially the fundamental principle that Rav Sheshes and Rabbah are arguing on. If you're measuring from the sides, from within this ditch, so then it has a height that's elevated more than three tefachim. But if you were to measure from the sides by the actual gedudim, in other words, by the edges of the ditch itself and above, in other words, if you look at the tree, essentially you only see what's from ground level and up because it's stuck into the edges of the charitz. You don't really see below that. Then it wouldn't have a height of three tefachim. And therefore, according to Rabbah, that he measures from the edge, in other words, what is where it is right now, what you see. So since it's less than three tefachim from the ground, we view it as part of the ground. But according to Rav Sheshes, again, as he said, we view it where it came from. And we don't care that that's not what is right now. We view it as its source. So since he would measure from the depth of it, and it has a height of more than three tefachim, so therefore that goes back to his logic, then mikoich yisur kasi. Where is it coming from? Let's go down to the root, literally. And that is which is down to the bottom, and therefore it's going to be more than the height of three tefachim, and therefore it will be considered as an ilon and prohibited to utilize. And finally, the Gemara says, v'chein b'keren zavis, the same thing would apply to a corner. And that is regarding a tree that is going upwards in the corner where there's two walls that are meeting. So you're right there, the tree is there in the corner of that of those two walls, in the by let's say by a courtyard. Now, three sides of the tree are essentially covered by that corner, and the only thing that's visible of the tree, which you see the height of it, is the outer part, that one side, so to speak. A tree is not exactly rectangular, but it's that three sides of the tree are stuck into the corner, and the only one that's visible is the other side. And now it's going up above the wall of the chatzar, but above the wall of the chatzar, it's less than three tefachim. So again, according to Rabbah, whatever's less than three tefachim is not a tree. And essentially what we're looking at, what we see, is at least on those three sides, is something less than three tefachim. So therefore it's going to be permitted, and we don't view it as an ilan, as a tree. But according to Rav Sheshes, we measure from the ground, and as he said his logic before, mikoyach yisur kasi, we look down where it's coming from. It's coming from a prohibited area. And that's why it's going to be forbidden according to Rav Sheshes. Now, as Rashi explains, it had to be speaking about a case of a keren zavis of a corner, because it was just by a regular wall, not stuck in the corner. And then even Rabbah would agree that since three of the sides, again, besides the fourth one that's equal to the wall where you only see it and less than three tefachim, but the other three sides are going to be visible and have a height of more than three tefachim, so it would be forbidden even though one of the walls would be equal to the wall and you would see it less than three tefachim. So again, even Rab is saying it's only in this case where three of the sides are, which the majority of the tree is concealed, and you only see it in an area of less than three tefachim where it comes above the wall. And so although one side is visible, then it's going to be permitted, but it had to be in the case of the Keren Zavis. Now regarding this machloikis, the Gemara brings the following incident. Hahu dikla dahavala abaye. Abaye had a certain tree that was inside his house, and that's where it grew. Vahavasalik biyipume, and now it went up in the house, it went through the skylight, through the roof, and it was visible above the house, but less than three tefachim. So Asli Kamed Rav Yosef came in front of Rav Yosef asking the Shiloh, what is the halacha with utilizing this tree? Vishorile, and he permitted because since above the roof, where is that where they wanted to use it, it's visible less than three tefachim, and that's on all sides you don't see anything. So therefore he said it's permitted because it's where it is right now on the top of the roof, it's less than the area of three tefachim, so we don't view it as a tree. So Rav Acha bar Techlifa, he commented, he says, Desharlach, if you want to know why Rav Yosef permitted for you to use the tree on top of the roof, it's Karabash Orlach, he permitted to you, like Rabbah's opinion. The Rabbah says, we don't look where it's from. We look at it as it is. Now, as it is on the roof, it's less than three tefachim. And therefore, we don't come with the logic of Mikoyach Yisur Ka'asi. So here also, although inside the house, it would be Asr, because inside the house, it definitely has a height of more than three tefachim, and therefore has the status of an Elon, of a tree, because there the height is visible, but in spite of that, on top of the roof, where it's not visible, we don't say Mikoyach Yisur Ka'asim. That the Gemara asks, well, Pshita, it's pretty obvious that he's not going to Rav Sheshes, because according to Rav Sheshes, you would say Mikoyach Yisur Ka'asim, that it's coming from a tree that has a really legitimate amount of height inside the house, so of course it'd be Yasur. That the Gemara says, no. He had to tell him that, because Ma'adutim, I would have thought to say, Afil Rav Sheshes, that even according to Rav Sheshes, this case he would agree that it would be Mutter. And why is that? Because basic command of Mali Dami. I view the house as if it's totally filled up, as if it's like ground that it's like, in other words, we don't count the roots of a tree because that's totally filled in. And therefore, on some level, as the Gemara says elsewhere, that a window between two different houses that's above 10 tefachim, we say that although generally above 10 tefachim makes it a different area, we say that no, we view the whole house area as if it's closed up. And therefore, it is considered within the airspace of 10 tefachim. So maybe we would say the same thing over here, that we view the whole house as if it's closed up. And therefore that I would be able to use the area on top of the roof within three, if it's less than three tefachim, because it's like ground, the whole house. And therefore the top of the roof is where it's starting, And therefore, like any tree, although the roots go very deep down, we don't consider that only from the ground up. Maybe therefore on top of the roof would be considered like at the ground up because we view the whole house as if it's filled up with earth. Kamash Mulan, that's the Chiddush. Although elsewhere we say this type of svara here because ultimately there is actually a tree and which is forbidden inside the house. So therefore it is considered Mikoichi through Kaase and according to Sheshes, it would be forbidden and he was being matur to you like the opinion of Rabbah. So now the Gemara comments that regarding this Machlaikas to prove either way, the Gemara says, now we learned in our Mishnah. Shirash of Gevayim in the Arz Kimotzvachim, as we quoted in the beginning of the Daf, that if the roots of this tree are higher than 3 tefachim from the ground, lo yeshav aleim, one is not allowed to sit on it. So the Gemara says, hey chedem, what is this case exactly? Idelo hadri kipi, if the branches don't come back down to within 3 tefachim of the ground, pshita, it's pretty obvious. We know the halacha that a person is not allowed to utilize, which is mentioned elsewhere already, that you can't use a tree on Shabbos. So obviously, if it's above 3 tefachim and it's not an extension of the ground, so of course it's asur. El Olav must be that Afagav Dehadri Kibi. Obviously, he's telling us that this Isser of utilizing the branches that's above 3 Tochim is even if it does bend over and come back down in, and that the Chiddush is telling us that you cannot sit on those which are bent down. Because as we just said before, if it's going on the ones that have a height of 3 Tochim, we have already in Mesechtes Bey where it says in Daf Lamed Vav that these are the things that are forbidden because of a shluas of Isser Rabbanan Shabbos, and one of them being Loyal Be'ilim. We know that halacha already. So what would this be a chiddush for? Obviously, he's telling us not like Rabbah, that even if it comes back down, it's going to be Asa because Mikoyach Yisur Kasi like Rav Sheshes. So the Gemara says, Loy. La'olam de'lo hadri kipi. In truth, we're talking about that the branches did not bend back down over. And this is a chiddush. What's the chiddush? That afagav that tzidoi echad shavala aretz. It's talking about a case where even the one side of it is equal to the ground, and that is the ground is higher on one side. Even there, Rabbah would agree, as we had mentioned before, that where three of the sides are higher from the ground, three tefachim, that although one side is within three tefachim from the ground because that side of the ground is higher, still there, in that case, even that side would still be prohibited, as we mentioned before, that only in a case like Keren Zavis, where it's on three sides at least, surrounded by the wall or the ground, and therefore it's less than three tefachim, that then he would say it's permitted. But where three of the sides are open, there's only one side where the ground is higher than all parts of the tree, even the part that is visible, less than three tefachim, even there, Rabbi would agree, and that is the chiddush of this case, which Shirash of Agvayin Shleisha, that even though one-sided is not Shleisha, still it's going to be forbidden, it's going to be Asa. So the Gemara says, again, on the same topic, turn up on the Braisa. Sharshi Ilon Shagavayim in the Arts Gimel Tefachim. So the roots of a tree that, as our Mishnah said, that has a height of at least 3 tefachim, oishish chalal tachten gimel tefachim, or even if it itself does not extend upward 3 tefachim, but it has the airspace of 3 tefachim underneath it, which means it is above that area. So afa pisha tzidei echad shavala aretz, as we just said before in our interpretation, at least according to Rabbah, for the chiddush of the Mishnah, that even though one side of it is equal to the ground, and therefore does not have a height of 3 tefachim, ha-reza lo yeshev len, still one is not allowed to sit on it, we still view it as a tree that's above 3 tefachim. And the reason is, lefi she'in oilim be'ilon, one is not allowed to climb onto a tree on Shabbos, ve'in nitlam be'ilon, you're not allowed to hang things on the tree, ve'in ishan be'ilon, you're not allowed to press one's weight and weigh on the tree and lean on it on Shabbos. And moreover, one is not allowed to go up on a tree from before Shabbos and stay the whole entire Shabbos. It's not just that you can't go on Shabbos, but even if you're there from before Shabbos, you can't stay there. Just being there and having your body over there is a prohibition on Shabbos. Now this applies to Echad Ilan, whether a tree, Echad Kol Behema, one cannot go on a tree or an animal on Shabbos. Avol Bar Shiach, Ma'ara, but regarding all these types of pits and caves, these different types of ditches, where whether it has water or whether it doesn't have water, or a gedder or a wall, Metapis va'oila, Metapis va'yard, you could climb up, you could climb down, the whole entire Shabbos, and as Rashi explains, because the chiddush that is telling us, the Braisa, is that the reason for this isser of climbing on a tree or climbing on the animal is not because of tircha, of exertion, and therefore you would think that, oh, so you can't climb in pits or all these type of things also. No, the isser is because one might come to break off something from that's attached on Shabbos intentionally, thereby being over on the isser, the Raisa. Therefore, those things are aser, but regarding these things, which a pit has no, there's no reason for concern over there. So, even if the 100 amah high or low, one could climb in and out of these things on Shabbos. But now the Gemara comments with a stira. Tani Chadi, we learn in one brisa, im Allah mutilayrit. If one went up on a tree on Shabbos, he's allowed to come down. Yet for Tani Chadi, we learn in another brisa, also learned that one is not allowed to come down. Now the reason why one would not be able to come down is because as he's coming down, he's going to be even Isser because he's going to be utilizing what's attached to the ground, this tree, as he's coming down. So that itself is an Isser. But we have a stira, is one allowed to come down and out? So the Gemara has three different approaches. Loi kasha, we can say that kan mi ba'ay yoyim. That one case, one Bryce told me, where he went on the tree from before Shabbos, and once he was there, it became Shabbos. There we don't penalize him, and that is because he didn't do an Isser actively on Shabbos, so therefore he's allowed to come down. But the other one, which said he can't come down, and that is it's a Knas, we penalize him, we make him stay there, because coming down is the actual Isser of the Drabbanan, of using it, and we say that once you did something prohibited on Shabbos, you have to stay there. Vibay same, another approach is, both are talking about that he actually went on the tree on Shabbos. But Khan Bishaik, the one that says he's permitted to come down is where he did it by mistake. He didn't realize that it was a tree. He was walking, oh, I'm on the tree. Oh my, it was equal to the ground. Then we let him come down. We don't knas him. Khan Bemezer, here is where he did it intentionally. Then we say it's prohibited. We penalize him and he has to stay on there for the whole Shabbos. Vibay same, and the third approach is, Havaha Bishaik. Both are talking about where he did it unintentionally. And their argument is between these two brises, if we penalize when he does it by mistake because of the time when he might do it on purpose, and then when he does it on purpose, we want to penalize him and keep him there. And that is Marsava Kansinan. The brise that says that's prohibited to come down even when it was done, B'shoigig, holds that you do penalize B'shoigig Atu Mezid. Marsava Kansinan, the other brise holds that we don't extend this Knas from Mezid to Shoigig, and therefore, if it's done B'shoigig, one can come down on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, regarding this machlokes, regarding if one could come down from the tree on Shabbos or not, it seems to be a machlokes tanoim, the same exact machlokes, as the Gemara brings. We learn tani tonin b'matana achas, that those things which are placed on the mizbeach with one pouring, and that is, for example, like the blood of a bechor, of a firstborn animal which is brought as a carbon, which the blood is poured onto the mizbeach in one pouring, that got mixed up with other bloods, and that is there was a different carbon, and the bloods got mixed together, which was also a carbon that's brought with one type of giving on the mizbeach, which, for example, let's say got mixed up with another bechor. So then the halacha is, yinasnim matana achas, then you put all these both bloods that were mixed together, and you do it in one pouring, and then therefore that one pouring will work as a matana, as a pouring of blood on the mizbeach for each one of them, because they're both mixed together, and all they both need is only one matana, one pouring on the mizbeach, so therefore that'll fulfill it for both of them. Similarly, matana, matan dalad b'matan dalad. Let's say the blood of a carbon chatas got mixed with the blood of another carbon chatas, which each one of them needs to be poured on the mizbeach four times, on the corners, then yinasnu b'matan dalad. Then what one does is, again, the same procedure. He does it with four matanas on the mizbeach. And that's the same idea, because then what will work for each one is being done together, and therefore you're going to be mekayim for both of them. However, then we continue. Matan arba b'matan achas. What do we do if a bechor, the blood of a bechor got mixed with the blood of a chatas? Now it's a little bit of a stuck situation, because a bechor needs one matana and not more, and the chatas needs four and not less. So what do you do? So we have machlekes. Rabbi Elazar says, yinasnu b'matan dal. He says what you do is you pour this mixed blood with four matanas on the mizbeach, because he holds a kum asay of a mitzvah to actively go ahead and be mekayim a positive commandment is better, even though with this positive mitzvah, there's also an aver being done. Because he's being over on the carbon of the blood of the Bechor, on what's called bal taisav, on adding more to the mitzvah than what's necessary. It's like when you wear five cornered garment with tzitzis, it's a bal taisav. When you take five minim on sukkahs, that's bal taisav. See here, where you're only supposed to do one matana for the Bechor, and you do four, that's bal taisav. However, the asay, the positive commandment by the carbon chatas, which it says in the pasuk in Vayikra Perek Dalet, that you should put it al karnes on the corners, so that means there should be four matanas, that is deicha, that pushes away the negative prohibition of bal taisav of the Bechor. So therefore he says, like commonly we say in the similar vein, asay dechalos asay. So here the asay of doing the four times by the chatas will put away, will negate the lois asay, the negative prohibition of bal taisav of the Bechor. So therefore you do it four times. Rabbi Shua says no. Says yinasnu b'matana achas. You pour this mixture of blood one time. And he says, because we there's a halacha that we say that whatever is put onto the outer mizbeach, that no matter how many times it's supposed to be placed, how many pourings, if it was done with one pouring, it ultimately will be a kapar, will be forgiven. And therefore here where it's not possible, to do for, because you have, on the other hand, the one of the Bechar. So we rely on that even like a tchila, and you're not over on Bal Taisiv anymore of the Bechar, because you're only doing it one time. Now, although you still have a problem of Bal Tigra, which is not to do less than what you're supposed to by the Karmachatas, but however, that's like we're explaining now, that it's better to go ahead, as and the Gemara will explain this in a moment, the better to have the Bal Tigra, in other words, to violate not doing less than what, in other words, to do less than what you're supposed to. But that will be happening by itself, where you're just sitting and not actually uprooting a prohibition. You're just not doing what you're supposed to. Then actually to go ahead and be a dayim, in other words, actively go ahead and be over to transgress the negative prohibition of Bal Taisiv of going ahead and adding more to the Bechar. So in other words, the Bechar one, if you were to do four, you actively would be, every time you're doing those extra three, you would be actively being over on that prohibition of Bal Taisiv. But by the Bal Tigra of Chatas, although you're supposed to do four and you're doing less, you're passively doing it. And that's better than actively being over. As the Gemara explains, this machlekes. So, Amalei Rebbe Elazar, but let's say to Rebbe Yeshua, wait a second. How can you say that you do it one time, not four? Harehu over Bal Tigra. You're going to be over, you're going to be transgressing the Isser by the Karmachatas, which has to have four, about not to do less. And you're doing one instead of four. Familiar Bishur says, hey, wait a second. How are you over Bal Taisiv? What you're doing, you're being over on increasing of the Bechar is only supposed to have one, and you're doing four. But so Amr Belezer responded back to him. He says, Loi Amru, they didn't say that Bal Taisiv, this problem of doing more than what you're supposed to, El Kishuba Atzma, only when the blood, when this is it itself. So therefore, when the Bechar blood was itself, and I was pouring it, yes, that would be a problem Bal Taisiv by doing four instead of one. But here it's mixed together. Here we didn't say that's a problem because it's the Dam Chatas that I'm pouring the extra times. And therefore, that wouldn't be Bal Tigra. So I'm sure Bishu responded the same thing for me. We didn't say that there's a prohibition of doing less than what you're supposed to, only when in itself, if I only had the Dam Chatas and I did it one time, that would be a problem. But here where it's mixed to Bechar, it's not a problem because it's the Bechar blood that's making me do the one time instead of the four. But then Rishu said even more. And this is the logic we just said before. It says, it makes more sense that you do it one time, not fully the way I'm saying. Because Kishin the Sata, when you go ahead and you do the extra two, three, four, which is what you're proposing, Avarja Bal Taisiv, you're being over A, first of all, on Bal Taisiv, increasing the bloods of the Bukhar instead of one, you're doing four. And Vasisa Maisa Biyadacha, you're actively transgressing it. Kishaloi Nasata, but according to my opinion, that although you're saying you're right, Chatas needs four, and I'm saying do only one, but by not giving the bloods, Avarta Bal Tigra, you're only transgressing the negative prohibition of not to do less, but you're not actively doing it, and therefore it makes more sense the way I'm saying it to do one and not four. So that is the machlokes we have between Rebbe Elazar and Yeshua. So the Gemara concludes how this is going to be the Tanoi, the machlokes Tanoim, which would be related to if you say that you come down to the tree on Shabbos or not. So the Gemara says, Rebbe Elazar, Dama Hasam Kumasei Odav. There we find that when you have this problem, on the one hand, you have the positive mitzvah of doing the bloods of the chatas four times, but then you have the negative prohibition of being over on Bal Taisiv. So when you have that dialectic, this issue, on the one hand, you want to go ahead and do the mitzvah saseh, but on the other hand, you have the mitzvah lois saseh. So what did Rebbe Elazar say? He says that the positive mitzvah outweighs the negative. Go ahead and do what you have to, although something bad is going to happen. So chinami yerid. Here Rebbe Elazar would agree that one should come down on Shabbos. And the reason is because this coming down is actually a mitzvah. Because as long as you sit there, you're using the tree, as we mentioned before, even if you went up from before Shabbos, the problem. So therefore, although that now when you're coming down, it's also a problem because you're using the tree, but it's better to come down than to sit there. Because here you're actively fulfilling something positive about coming down that you won't be over on it anymore. And therefore, although you're being over on the problem as you're doing it, it's better to do a positive thing and in the right direction, although a negative thing will be transgressed as you're doing it, as we find he says that over there. And Rabbi Yeshua, whereas according to Rabbi Yeshua, the Amar Hasim Sheval Tasa Adav, where he says, no, better be passive. Don't actively transgress something negative in spite of the fact that you might be fulfilling something positive when you're doing it. So he would say, don't come down. Stay where you are, Sheval Tasa, because better don't be transgressing, be a dime, even though there's a mitzvah to be fulfilled. And then the Gemara says, no, Dimalohi, maybe it's not true. Maybe this machlekes regarding coming down the tree on Shabbos would not be dependent on this machlekes Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yeshua. Because Adkan lekam Rebbe Elazar hasam komasei adiv. Where do we find over there by the bloods of the Bechar and the Chatas? Where Rebbe Elazar says, better fulfill a positive thing, although you will be transgressing something, be a dime as you're doing it. el deka oved mitzvah, only where you actually will be fulfilling a positive commandment when you're doing it, which is the mitzvah saseh that we mentioned that the pasuk says v'nasan al karnes. You should put the bloods of the chatas on the four corners. There's a positive mitzvah you're actually doing. Aval hocha deloy oved mitzvah, here you're not actually fulfilling a mitzvah. You are removing yourself from future averis, but you're not actively being mekayim a mitzvah. In other words, there's no mitzvah to come down from the tree. You are now removing yourself from future averis for the rest of Shabbos from staying on the tree. But since you're not actively being mekayim a mitzvah, maybe we won't say that then to go ahead and be over a negative prohibition actively. So Achan Amalei Yerid, maybe he would agree that he one does not come down because there's no actual mitzvah being mekuyim. V'inami, and you could also say the reverse. That Adkan lekam Rabbi Shua Hasam Shebal Tasa Adav. Only what we found up until now that Rabbi Shua over there says that better stay back. Don't be over on the mitzvahs leisa say be a dayim, although you have the ability to be mekayim mitzvahs say. Ella, that's only we continue on to Amud Beis, the lekavri sura where you're not actually being over on an iser. So although he says that go ahead and don't fulfill the positive mitzvah, and therefore you're not going to actively transgress a mitzvahs leisa say. But when you're sitting there and you're not putting on the four corners for the karb mechatas, and then there's a lav of Baal Tigra that you're transgressing because you're not doing the four times, and you're violating the mitzvah to say of putting on the corners that's necessary for the karb mechatas, but ultimately those two isurim are being uprooted by themselves. So you're not actively doing an isur. And therefore, over there he says that better don't go ahead and be mekayim the mitzvah say and be over the lois says again, but those are not things that you're actively doing. But here where you're actually doing an iser, and that is when you're sitting there on the tree, you're using the tree. And that is actively being over on the iser of using the tree. Maybe Rabbi Shu would agree that here one would come down on Shabbos because it is better to go ahead and be over on the lav, actively be a dayim, because the other side, the flip side is that you will be over in Isser the whole time that you're staying there. It was only in his case where what he was speaking about, and that he says, don't go ahead and do an Isser, although there's a mitzvah saseh, but what's the other option? If I'm not going to be over the Isser, well, these other isurim that are being done, but they're not being done be a dayim. They're just happening by themselves. So that's, again, his opinion, and that is if you're not actively doing an Isser, that's better than doing it be a dime. But in our case, you're actually being over an Isser by staying there on Shabbos. The Isser is being there by having your body weight on the tree. And therefore, maybe he himself would agree that better come down than the whole Shabbos being over on an Isser. And therefore, the Gemara says, there's no raya that this would be the Machlokes Tanan Rav Elazar Yeshua regarding if one could come down the tree on Shabbos or not. Now the Gemara poses another contradiction. Tanachad, we learn in one brisa, echad ilon lach, whether it be a moist tree, ve'echad ilon yavish, whether it be a dried out tree, either way it's going to be forbidden to utilize that tree on Shabbos. Yet v'tanya idach, we learn in another brisa, by med v'mamurim balach, when do we say it's prohibited to use a tree on Shabbos? That's when it's moist. Abi yavish, when it's dried out, where it has no moisture, and therefore it's really essentially like it's not even attached to the ground, then it's permitted to use the tree. It's not like a tree which is connected to the ground, which is the concern of having the branches break off on Shabbos. So we have a contradiction. Is it permitted when it's dry or not? Similar to as we mentioned on the previous brisa, we had this whole question, a steer in the brisa, if one could come down on Shabbos or not. Some of Yehuda says, loy kasha, kan b'shegizoy machlep. One brisa is talking about where the trunk regenerates itself. And therefore, although it's dried out, but since it still has that potential, it's still alive, and it can regenerate itself, then it's going to be awesome. The one that says a yavish is mutter, is that it's totally dried out, where it cannot regenerate itself, and therefore it's going to be permitted. On that, the Gemara asks, wait a second, how could you even say that? Gizli machlef yavish karisle? If the trunk could regenerate, that's something, a tree that you'd call dried out? The brisa says, the one that says permitted says yavish is mutter. Now, how can you say as your answer that the one that's permitted is that it's dried out is because it can regenerate, it's forbidden because it can regenerate itself, but if it can regenerate itself, then why is it called yavish? If it's saying that yavish is usr, it must mean that it's really dried out because regeneration is that it's not dried out. On that, the Gemara says, so you're right, eloi kasha, kan be maisa chamo, the one that says that if it's dried out, it's permitted, it's talking about during the summer months. where, yes, if it's dried out, according to everybody, we're talking about that's in gizemachav, obviously it cannot regenerate itself, so it's totally dried out. So really, according to everybody, it should be permitted. But the idea is, there's another issue over here that's called marasayin, where it seems like something wrong is being done. But in the summer months, there's not even marasayin because everybody sees that it's dried out because there are no leaves. When the leaves usually come out during summer months, and we see there's no leaves, everybody knows it's dead, and therefore there's no marasayin. The other brayis that says that it's going to be usur is talking about during the winter months, where it's not so recognizable what's a dried out tree, what's a moist tree, and therefore there's at least the problem of marasayin, where it's people think, hey, he's using a tree on Shabbos, they can't tell that it's a dried out dead tree, and therefore that's going to be usur. And that the Gemara asks, b'maisa chama, you said that in the summer months it's permitted when it's dried out because A, it's dead, and B, there's no marasayin even. But the Gemara says it's a different problem, uchayra. Hanashri peri, you're going to be breaking off some of the fruits from the tree, although it's dead, the fruits are going to come plopping off, which were left there from the previous year. And although there's no problem, because essentially it's a dead tree and not really ripping off anything that's from attached from the ground, but we might come to then permit ripping off fruits from a moist tree. Now, as Rashi explains, although we don't say that we're not allowed to go on to a dried out tree, because then we might come to go on a moist tree, because that's the actual going on the tree is only an issur d'rabbanan. It itself is a gzeira, and therefore we don't make a gzeira like gzeira. But the uprooting of a fruit from a branch, which is when you go on, it shakes and it comes off, that is an issur d'oraisa of Tailish. And therefore, although this is permitted to go on this dry tree during the summer months, because there's no issur and there's no problem of marasayin, but if we let you go on it and we let the fruits come off, then you might come to do it on a moist tree, and that makes sense to make a gzeir, because we make gzeiras of possible isuri deraisa, which is the case by a moist tree when the fruits are coming off. So Gemara says you're right, but the like a pair, we're talking about a case where there are no fruits, and therefore there is no such a concern. That's where we allowed you. But then the Gemara still asks, well, kanastri kinsi, but the twigs are going to come breaking off, which again, that should be a concern of a moist tree, which that would be also an isuri deraisa. And that the Gemara similarly answers, Begududa, we're talking about just that there's a trunk of the tree that the branches had already come off, and therefore, again, there's no concern about the branches because there are no branches. But then the Gemara asks on this heter, this whole case of that we permitted, Ini, is it really so? V'harav ikla la pastilla. Rav once went to the town of Apastilla. V'asa Begududa, and he said that it was forbidden to go on to just the trunk, even though there's no branches. So how can we say that that is the ultimate case that we're talking about that's permitted? Nothing more says, no, really that's permitted, as we said. It's summer months, it's dead, there's no maras ayin. We're not concerned about the fruits because there are no fruits, and not concerned about the branches because there are no branches. But Rav Bikur Matzah, Rav found an open field, which basically means that the people of that town were not b'nei Torah. They wouldn't know how to be careful. Like an open field which has no watchman and it's just breached, it's open to everything, there's nothing protecting it. So v'gadda b'gadda, he like, so to speak, made a fence around it. He said that even that's us, because if he would permit it, which essentially is, they might come to use regular trees and they wouldn't know how to differentiate and be careful. That's why he says us, but really it's mutter, as we explain. And therefore, that resolved the contradiction again about Yavish, that the Yavish is actually going to be Usr, that is going to be talking about a case of Yemaisach Shamim, where there is Marasayin, and where it's going to be Mutter is Yemaisach Chamim in the summer months where there is no Marasayin. So related to this idea about utilizing a tree on Shabbos, so the Gemara says, Amar Rami bar Abba, Amar Rav Asi, Usr l'Adam she'halach gabei asam b'Shabbos. It's forbidden to walk on top of grass on Shabbos. And the reason is, Mishum Shenema, as it says in Pasuk in Mishlei, V'atz b'raglayim, someone that stomps with his foot, with his feet, chayte, he's a sinner. In other words, we see that even walking could be considered a sin. Now, here there's a sin because you're ripping up grass on Shabbos, you're being over on Tailish, you're ripping up things that are connected to the ground on Shabbos. So there's a prohibition. But the Gemara says it seems to be a contradiction of brises, because Tanachad, we learned in one brisa, that mutter le'lecha gabei asam b'Shabbos, it's permitted to go on grass on Shabbos. Yet, v'tanyi d'chol, another brisa, it's us, it's forbidden. So we have a contradiction, the steer, if one is allowed to go on grass on Shabbos or not. So the Gemara is a late kasha. The Gemara has five different approaches to resolve this steer. The first approach is habalachim. The one that says it's forbidden is talking about where the grass is moist, and therefore it's alive, it's connected, and therefore it would be considered toilish ripping out on Shabbos, and therefore it's forbidden. Habi evasion, the one that says that it's mutter, is talking about where it's dried out, and therefore it's like it's detached already, and therefore you could walk on such grass. V'boisim, a second approach to the Gemara says, Hava ha-balachim le-kasha, they're both moist and there's no problem. Because kan b'maisachama, the one that says forbidden, is talking about during the summer months. Now during the summer months, there's the seeds inside the stalks of the grass. And therefore, if you're going to walk in it, you're going to be pulling that out on Shabbos, and that's going to be forbidden to do that on Shabbos. The one that says permitted during the winter months where there are no seeds inside of it, and therefore when that there's no seeds coming out to be considered one lama tes malachis, and therefore it's going to be permitted. A third approach is, no, they're both talking about that they're moist and in the summer months, and still there's no problem. Because ha the sign misani, the one that says that it's permitted is talking about that he's wearing shoes. Ha the loy sign misani, the one that says forbidden is that he's not wearing shoes because the grass gets stuck in between his toes, and therefore it's going to get ripped out in his toes, and that's why it's forbidden to walk on grass. Vibay same, a fourth approach the Gemara gives is ha vaha the sign misani v'lekasha, that yes, it's during the summer months, and it's talking about that he's wearing shoes, and that it's moist, and it's not going to be a problem. The different opinions are had the isle uktzi, the one that says forbidden is that the shoes have spikes, and therefore it's going to rip it out when he walks. Had the lesle uktzi, the one that says permitted is when there are no spikes, so therefore there's no problem to walk on Shabbos. The fifth approach is havahad the isle uktzi. They're both talking about shoes that have spikes. One case is talking about where the word shracha means like a long string, which basically means that the grass is long. When the grass is long, that's forbidden because then it's going to get stuck and it's going to rip it out. The one that says mutter is when the grass is not long. If it's not long, you're not going to end up ripping it out, even if you have spikes when you're walking in it on Shabbos. So the Gemara concludes, however, although we had this theory in the Brises and we had many different approaches to say what is mutter, what is aser, for Idna, the Kaimelon Kerev Shimon, but today, that we paskin halacha lamais like Reb Shimon, that he says, davar she'ein miskaven, something that was unintended, is mutter, is permitted. So kulashari, all the scenarios we describe, summer, winter, shoes, no shoes, long, short, are all permitted because it's unintended. It's an unintended consequence, which since it's not inevitable, it's not psik resha, therefore you're allowed to walk on grass, and even if it gets ripped out, possibly, that's permitted because it's davar she'ein miskaven that was unintended. So regarding the pasuk that we mentioned before, the Gemara goes into a different drasha. It's forbidden for a person to force his wife for a mitzvah purpose, which is a reference for marital relations. Shanam, like it says in the pasuk initially that we mentioned before, someone that forces with his feet. Now, as Rashi explains, that raglayim is a reference to marital relations. Like it says in the pasuk in Shaftan Perakei, which is the story with Yal and Sisra, that it says, Bein ragleho, between her legs of Yal, kara he kneeled, nafal he fell, shachav he lay, this was Sisra. And therefore we see that raglayim is a reference to tashmish. Therefore, someone that forces with tashmish, with marital relations, chayti is considered a sinner. And that's why if someone is kaf, if he forces his wife with marital relations, he's considered a sinner. Moreover, Rami Rishu ben Levi, kala koifa ishul dvar mitzvah, whoever forces his wife for the mitzvah purpose of marital relations, havin loy banim she'in mehugan, he has improper children. Amrav ikar bachinna micro, what's the pasuk that shows this concept that one will have improper children? So the beginning of the pasuk that the Gemara is going to quote is the pasuk of Utzber Aglayim, which if someone forces with regarding marital relations that he's a sinner, the pasuk concludes, gam beloy das, also without her willing, without willingness, nefesh leitav is a non-good soul. And that is the children that come out without the woman's consent, which is in the case of when her husband is utzber aglayim, the nefesh will be leitav, will be improper children. Tanya Mahochi, similar in the Braisa. Gam b'loy das, also without willingness, nefesh leitav is an improper, is a non-good soul. Zehakoy for ishul dvar mitzvah, this is a reference to someone that forces his wife for marital relations, and for utzper aglayim chayti, when the beginning of the pasuk says that he who forces with regards to raglayim, marital relations, he's a sinner, zeha boil v'shayna, this is a reference to someone that has intercourse and repeats it again, which he makes it very difficult for his wife that he's doing it again after he had just done it. To which the Gemara asks, Ini, is that really so, that's a bad thing, that's considered chayti? V'amar Rava, Rava said, haroit alas is called banav zacharim, whoever wants to make all his children males, and that is he wants to have sons, yivol v'yishne, he should have marital relations and then do it again. And as Rashi explains, because of the first time he does it, so then finally the woman gets her desire for marital relations. Now she has her taiva, and when he does it again, so then she's going to be emitting seed first because she finally has been clothed in this desire. Now, as the Gemara says elsewhere, when she emits seed first, then the child is a male. When he emits seed first, the child is a female. So therefore we see that to the contrary, it's not a bad thing to go ahead and do Bi'ilah twice. Rather, that's what he says. If you want to have male sons, you should do it twice so that she'll emit seed first and then you'll have male sons. So why is it considered a chayte? So the Gemara says, loy kasha, kan ladas. When did we say that it's a good thing and that you'll have male sons if you do it one after another? That's with the wife's consent. Kan shalei ladas. When did we call it a sinner? Because he's being matriachar is when he does it without her consent and he just wants to do it again. And therefore, that's considered a sinner if he's boyel v'shayna. So Amr b'shmul b'anachmin Amr b'yechnan. Any woman that petitions her husband for marital relations, she's going to have children. That even in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't equal the stature of these children. Because whereas by the generation of Moshe, it says in the Pasuk in Devarim that they said, give towards from you men that are wise, nevinim, and understanding, which means that they understand something from something else, v'yadum l'shavtechem, that are known for your tribes. Yet, that's what they wanted from the people. But ultimately, it says in the Pasuk, v'ekach es rashi shavtechem, that I took the heads of your tribes, anashim chachamim v'yadum, wise men that were known, v'il nevinim l'ashkech. It doesn't say in the Pasuk that he took understanding men, that they weren't able to find those that had been there, that had understanding. Whereas by Leah, we find that the Pasuk in Bereishis says, Vatitzi Leah Lekrasi, that Leah went towards Yaakov, Vatayman, and she said to him, Eli Tavat, you're going to come to me tonight, Kisacha Secharticha, because I have rented you. And that is, although it was supposed to be Rachel's night, but she gave her the Dudaim, and therefore she got the rights for Yaakov that night. Uchsiv, and it says in the Pasuk in Dibra Yamim, Umimne Yisachar, and that from the children of Yisachar, which was from, that was from the outcome of Leah petitioning Yaakov for the Dvar Mitzvah, for marital relations of that night. Who was that son? That was Yisachar. And it says regarding his children that they were Yoidei Bina Le'itim, that they were those of understand, they knew, they were men of understanding of the times. L'das Ma'yasa Yisrael, to know what the Jewish people should do. Rashehem Messiahim, V'chalacheim Apiyim, that their heads were 200 and all their brothers were by their mouth. So we see that if a woman petitions her husband, which is what Leah did to Yaakov, she'll have a son like Yisachar, who are Yoidei Bina, who have understanding, which is even greater than those in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, we see that this is a beautiful thing, that a woman should petition her husband and she'll have great children. The Gemara asks, Ini, is that really so? Vam Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Eser Klolis Neskal L'Chava. Chava got 10 curses due to the consequences of the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. Like it says in Pasuk in Bereishis, and the Gemara will quote what the 10 curses are, interpreting the Pasuk that it says over there. It says, Ele Isha Amat, that to the woman he said, this is when Hashem was giving the consequences of the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, says, Harba Arba, I will increase, and it says, I will increase all your pain, etc. What will I increase? Elu Shnei Tipidam. These are two drops of blood that I'm now putting into your system. That's part of the curse. Achaz Damni, the one is the blood of menstruation. One is the blood of virginity. That's one curse. Then, harba arba, I will increase itzvoynech, your suffering. What is that? Zetzar gidlban, this is the pain of raising children. Vihiroynech, and the pain of your childbearing. Zetzar iber, this is the pain of pregnancy, which is many women are sick. They're ill when they're pregnant. Then it says, Be'etzav te'libanim. In pain, you're going to give birth to children. That's kemashmai. That's literally as it is, which is the birth pains that come along during birth. Vel ishech teshukasech. And that to your husband, to your man, will be your craving. Malama just teaches, She'isha mishtekekes al bailam, that a woman yearns for her husband. And that is, she desires marital relations, b'shosh yetzel derech, at a time when he goes away, and her desires are for her husband. And that's painful for her. And he will rule over you, which as the Gemara will explain, that he rules over you, that he can verbalize his heart's desire, that what he wants, but the woman has the desire in her heart and she's embarrassed to say what she really wants. And that's also painful for her. This comes to teach that a woman, she petitions her husband in her heart. But the man, in verbally, he petitions with his mouth what he wants from her, from his wife. And the Gemara even says, however, zuhi mida tayve benashim. This is a good characteristic by women, that she does not petition with her mouth, because it would be not proper for the woman, but rather that she does petition in her heart. So although it's a klala for her, it's difficult, but it's proper what a woman should be. But yet that contradicts what we just said before. We said that the woman that petitions her husband is a good thing. She'll have beautiful children from that. And yet here we see that it's a good thing that she doesn't verbalize saying that she wants her husband for marital relations, and that just that she has the desire in her heart. So how do we resolve that? So on that, the Gemara says, Ki Karmina, when did we say that it's praiseworthy for a woman to petition her husband? Is demeratsya artsuya kame, that where she petitions her husband by showing him acts of love and of chiba. And that is, she doesn't actually verbalize it. That would be improper for a woman. But when we said that it's praiseworthy, it's making herself favorable in his eyes, that he would want to have tashmish with her. That's what we said, that she's being teveya, but you're right, it's not actually verbally bepeh. So Anat Gemara asks, but hani sheva havin? He started telling us 10 curses that a woman got, and you only counted 7. What are the other 3? So Kiyas Rav Dimi Amar, when Rav Dimi came, he said what the final 3 of the 10 curses were. One is atufa kaval, if the woman is cloaked like a mourner, and that is, she's embarrassed to go outside with her head, her hair uncovered, and therefore she goes and covers her head, like a mourner would go in those times covered with their head. The second one is umenudah mikol adam, that she's separated from every single person, which the Gemara later will explain, that it means she's forbidden to everyone besides her husband, whereas the man, at least min ha-Torah, is permitted to marry many women, so she's stuck to him, so to speak. She's separated from everyone else, but he's permitted to everyone else. And the third thing is v'chavusha beveis asrum, and that she's confined in jail. And that is, as the pasuk says, that kol kvudah bas melech panima, that due to her royalty, she's supposed to stay indoors like a royal princess. But on the other sense, there's still that confinement that she has, whereas the husband can go outside and do what he wants to. He's not locked in the house all day. So now the Gemara asks, to clarify, my menudu b'kolim, what does it mean that she is separated from everyone else? And that's one of her curses. If it's that she's forbidden to be confined in an area with another man, so he's also forbidden to be confined with another woman in the same room. So in that sense, he's also separated from everyone else. So rather, just means that she's forbidden to actually consummate a relationship with another man, whereas he's permitted to many women, and therefore she's considered menuda, but the male does not have that curse. Then the Gemara says, "B'masnitan." In the Brisa, we learned what the final 3 were. Then Brisa says, "Migadela seyer kalilis," that she grows her hair long, the way lilis, which is one of the demons, has it. That's a curse. That's how her hair is. Second one is v'yeshevis u'mashtendis mayim kebehema, that she sits and she urinates like an animal. That is, she kneels when she's urinating like a female mule does that. And the third one is Venasis Karla Baila. She becomes a pillow for her husband, and that is during marital relations, he's on the top during Tashmish, and therefore he gets to lay on her, and therefore she's like the pillow. And those are the 3 curses that the woman got. But then the Gemara says V'idach, whereas Rav Dimi, that he did not count these 3, he said 3 other 3, Hani Shvachula. These 3 things are praise for her, it's not a curse. And this that she sits and she urinates, that's modest. And therefore, she doesn't lose anything by doing that. So that's not a problem. That's not a curse. And this is that she becomes a pillow for her husband during marital relations. To the contrary, she doesn't have to exert herself as much as her husband. His job is harder than her. She could just lay down, and therefore, that's not considered a curse. As the Gemara says, Amr B'chia, like Reb Chiya said, that this that she sits and urinates like an animal is not a curse. To the contrary, it's an act of modesty that could be learned from the animals, as he said, like animals do it. Like it says, Maida said, what does it say in the Pasuk in Eiv? Malfeinu, that he teaches us, mi bahamas arts, from the animals of the earth, that he put in them this wisdom to teach us certain things. And that from the birds of the heavens, he makes us wise, and that is, he's teaching us things from the animals. What are these things? So the Gemara explains, Malfeinu behemis, he teaches us from the animals. Zu pirda, this is what we can learn from a female mule. Shekirasu mashtanus mayim, that she kneels and she urinates. Again, that's teaching us modesty. And from the birds of the heaven, he makes us wise, that we could learn something from the animals. This is a reference to the rooster. That he appeases, that is, he goes around his mate, and he spreads out his wings, and he's appeasing, as the Gemara will later say, that he's basically telling her that he's going to buy her a cloak, an article of clothing that will reach all the way down to the ground. So he's appeasing her. And only then does he have relations with her. So those are certain lessons that we could take from the animals, and we can incorporate those things for ourselves. And therefore, that's a positive thing that she kneels when she urinates, although an animal does that, but there are positive things that animals do that we can learn from them. Similarly, the Gemara says, "Amabiyechanam el mali lo lintna Torah." Had it not been the Torah was given, hayinu lemeidim, we would learn all these following things from the animals. We would learn tznius mechatol, we would learn modesty from a cat, that a cat does not defecate in front of people, and after she does release it, she covers her excrement, and therefore there's a certain amount of modesty we could learn from the cat. The gezlam and the mala, and theft from the ant, like it says in the pasuk in Mishlei, that the ants gather all their food in the summer months for the long winter, and not one ant steals from the other one. So again, this is something else we would have learned. We learned it from the Torah now, but we would have learned it from the animals. V'arayis miyoyna, and immorality from the dove, that the dove does not have relations with anyone but its mate. And derech eretz mitarnigal, and we would have learned the proper way for intercourse from the tarnigal, from the rooster. Shemefayis v'achkach bel, that first he appeases his mate, and only then does he have relations. Again, something important to learn from the animal. And then the Gemara says, umaymefayis la, how does the rooster appease his mate? So Rav Yehuda Marav, hochekamala, this is what he tells her. Says Zavenina Loch Ziga, I'm gonna buy for you an article of clothing which is called a coat. Dematulach ad karich, that's gonna reach all the way down to your feet. Labasarhachi, after he has relations, he shakes and he bends his head down to the ground towards her. And Amala, he tells her as follows. Lishtamitse likarbolose dahutan the gaila, that the crest of that rooster, which is a reference to himself in the third person, should be chopped off. If he has with what to purchase for you the coat, and he doesn't purchase it for you, so he's ingratiating himself to her and saying that, I owe you this, and that's part of his process of appeasing her. And therefore, again, the three of the brisa, Rav Dimi did not count, because their praise for her, and specifically the one about crouching while urinating, is not a bad thing, it's a positive thing, and although animals do it, but it's a positive thing, an act of tznius, which we could learn from the animals.